Did you know one of these days this church is going to heaven? I said, did you know that one of these days this church is going to heaven? Yeah. Amen. That's great. Well, what are we going to do when we get there? Amen. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Amen. We are in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. We started there last week. We talked about the rapture of the church. That's how we got there. Amen. But after we get there, some things are going to happen that are tremendous and glorious. Amen. So let me just read again, begin with verse number 1. And after this, John said, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now there's only one that can open that door. And that's the Lord himself. He said to the last church, the church in Philadelphia, or the next to the last church, he said, I'm the one that opens doors and no man shuts. And I'm the one that shuts doors and no man opens. And he said to the church, I put before you an open door. And so here's this door he opens in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, we talked about the things that were. We talked about the things that are, which were the seven churches. Now, we're going to talk about the things hereafter. That's what's going to be. And he reveals those things in the next chapters up to chapter 22. Amen. Well, let's pray, shall we, before we study tonight. God, we ask your help. Quicken our minds, open our thinking. Help us with our delivery of what you would want to say to the church tonight. I surrender my heart. I surrender my lips. I surrender my mind. Have your liberty here, God. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. And speak through us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at this chapter. Read a little bit further. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. Everybody say a throne. A throne was set in heaven, and one sat on throne. So the first thing that John noticed when he got there was a throne. Now a throne is a seat of authority and power. Usually when you have a throne, you have a king. And where there's a king, there's a kingdom. So he said there was one, everybody say one, sat on the throne. How many?
One.
Well, that's normal, isn't it? Amen. There's one throne. And there's one sitting on the throne. Amen. We know who that is, right? What's his name? Jesus. We're going to find that a little later. He's the one that's on the throne. Amen. And he's sitting on the throne. That means that he already has accomplished what he came to do. He's not working. He's not worried. He's not wringing his hands. Amen. He's sitting on the throne. And then he said, he that sat was to look upon, and he begins to give a description here. Now, how do you describe somebody? Interestingly, he does not describe his physical features. He doesn't tell us what color his hair was. He already has, back in chapter 1. He doesn't talk about how big or little his nose was or his ears. He doesn't talk about the shape of his mouth. He doesn't talk about the color of his eyes. Instead, he talks about his power. And he talks about his authority. First of all, he said that he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. A jasper, as we find out a little bit later in this book, very possibly is what we would call the diamond today. He said it's crystal clear, like a diamond. A diamond's a clear stone. And it can flash all of the colors of the spectrum as it passes through, and they burst into a display that is beautiful and dazzling. He talks about his presence or his countenance being clear, crystal clear, open. and beautiful and dazzling. Amen. When you see the Lord, we don't have any description of His physical features. You know what I think is very interesting about His appearance? If we were in Africa today and you were to ask somebody, what color is Jesus? You know what they'd tell you? Huh? He's black. If you were in South America and you were talking and they said, well, what color is Jesus? And they said, well, He's like us. He's brown. Isn't that right? And if you were over in Asia and you were saying, well, what color is the Lord? And they'd say, well, He's like us. He's kind of yellow pigmented. You see, we don't know because He fits all of these descriptions. The Bible doesn't spend a lot of time talking about His color or His features. The only thing it says about His features is that when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. When you see Jesus Christ, you're not going to be dazzled with His handsomeness. Amen. You're going to be impressed as John was with His authority and with His power and with His beauty and with His transparency. Amen. And then He goes on with His description. And He said, and a sardine stone, or sardius stone, and that is a blood red stone. Amen. And so every time there's a reference, you got to talk about the blood. The only reason we come into the presence of the Lord is by the blood. The Bible says we draw nigh by the blood. We have access to the throne of God by the blood. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we could not come close to God. We were separated from God except for the blood. We spent 13 weeks last quarter studying about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. The only access we have to the throne of God is through the blood, Brother Neil. Amen. You can't come any other way. Amen. Just through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And then He talks about, they said around this throne there was a rainbow. Now, rainbow, if you go back to the Old Testament, in the time of Noah, it talks about a promise. Amen. And God's word is sure. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. You know, the only thing that's more sure, and we're pretty sure of the earth, aren't we? We walk here, we drive here. And of course, right now in Florida, they're a little nervous because it keeps opening up and swallowing things. Got these sinkholes going on over there. If you've ever been in an earthquake, it'll kind of shake your confidence in the solid ground because it don't feel solid when it's shaking and moving under your feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the earth we stand on, there's one thing more sure than this, and that is the Word of God that made this. I said, the Word of God that made this. What put all this together? According to the Scriptures, God said, and it just appeared. Amen. Hallelujah. So everything that consists was made by the Word of God. So His Word is more sure than anything. And so when God makes a promise, you can depend on it. I said, when God makes a promise, you can count on it. Amen. Now, I can make a promise and you can make a promise with the very best of intentions, but circumstances can prevent us from keeping our promises. Has that ever happened to anybody? Have you ever made a promise with the very best of intentions and then something happened? You got sick. Somebody else got sick. Something happened. You couldn't keep your promise. You felt bad. You apologized. But because you are subject to circumstances. But I'm telling you today, God is not subject to circumstances. Circumstances are subject to God. And so when He makes a promise, He can keep it. Amen. And so the rainbow is the promise. It's a place of promise, and all of our promises that He made will come to pass. Amen. At the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. Getting to the throne, and every promise is going to be fulfilled when we get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And around about the throne, He said, verse 4, there were 24 seats And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, so here's the throne in the midst. Around the throne are 24 seats, and on those seats are 24, he calls them elders. Now, who are these 24 elders? In the Bible, it's kind of a number of completeness, 24. And he describes these 24, and I can tell you what I believe they are. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not going to say that I'm not. Anytime you talk about Revelation, as the Scripture said, we still see through a glass darkly. So I'm going to give you what I really believe, what I've read, what I think, what I feel is right. I believe that the 24 elders are represented by the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament and the 12 apostles of the New Testament. Now that relates. The Bible said that when the New Jerusalem comes down, there's 12 gates. And on each of those gates is the name of one of the tribes of Israel, one of the patriarchs. And then it talks about the 12 foundations of the city. And on each of those foundations is the name of one of the apostles. So you see where we're going with this? Heaven seems to represent the Old Testament and the New Testament. So it makes some sense to me then that this is representative. It's a representative body of the church and of the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. And so the 24 elders are there. The Bible says that each of them has on his head a golden crown. There are two words for crown from the Greek in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament. The word diadema, which is the crown of a king, or the crown of a potentate. And then there is this word, Stephanos, which is translated Stephen, by the way. If your name is Stephen, your name means crown. If you have a child named Stephen, you named him Crown. That's what his name is. It differs from the crown of a potentate because it is the crown of a victor. It comes in the contest, in the Olympic contest. When a man won a contest, they would crown him. Amen. And that crown they put on him was saying that you have won. You have surpassed. You have accomplished. And so they would put on him a Stephanos. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be a king's crown. There's only one king there. Amen. And he's going to have a crown, all right. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a diadema. He's going to have the crown of the king, the only wise, the only potentate. That's what's going to be on his head. But you and I, we're going to have a Stephanos. Amen. It's interesting to me that it means Stephen, because Stephen was one of the first to get that crown. Amen. He was martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for the gospel, did he not? Amen. And he won a crown, the Stephanos, the victor's crown. Hallelujah. So when we get to heaven, we're going to get a victor's crown. It means that you've been through some stuff. You had to fight your way through. You had to push your way through. You had to pray your way through. You had to be consistent. You had to stay in the fight. Times you wanted to give up, but you didn't. You pressed on when you didn't want to press on. You prayed when you didn't want to pray. You worshiped when you didn't want to worship. Hallelujah. You stayed on the way. Amen. And you got a victor's crown when you get to the other side. So each of these were crowned with a Stephanos. Amen. Paul talks about that, doesn't he? Amen. He talked about that crown that's going to be awarded. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight." You know what a good fight is? It's one that you win. That's what makes a fight. Second thing about a fight, a good fight, is you're fighting for a good cause. Amen. So Paul fought for the right cause, and he won. That made it a good fight. And then he said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Yeah, everybody say finished. That's the main thing about this race. You got to finish. It's not for the swift. Amen. You don't have to be the fastest thing on 2 feet. You just got to finish. And the second thing I want you to notice is, he said, my course. Everybody's got to finish their course. Brother Neil, I can't finish your course. You got to finish it. You can't finish mine. I have to finish my course. Everybody's course is different. Amen. Everybody's course is different. You're going to go through some things I'm not going to go through. I'm going to go through some things you're not going to go through. But each of us must finish our course. That's our job. Paul said, I finished my course. He said, I kept the faith. The body of beliefs. You got to hang on to that truth. Don't let go of it. Amen. You save the truth and the truth will save you. You preserve the truth and the truth will preserve you. You love the truth and the truth's going to get you through. You just keep on hanging on to the truth. Amen. We're being assailed on every side today. I read an article today that said that they the DNA of this man and found out that they thought humanity was, I don't remember how many years old, but they found out it's even older than we thought. So now they got us back over 300,000 years ago. Amen. You can believe that if you want to. And they said he predated Adam. I don't think so. Adam was the first man, according to the Bible. Now you see, it comes down. Now I've got to either believe what science says, or I have to believe what the Bible says. You know what I'm saying? We're getting that close place, folks. Now a lot of folks are going to say, "Well, science is never wrong." Really? Huh? They change every day. Don't you know that? Amen. If you don't believe that, just look at your diet. You know, all the stuff you give up, and they say, oh, that's good for you. And they say, oh, that'll kill you. No, that's good for you. I don't know. So I just went ahead and decided I'm just going to eat what I like. Amen. If I die, I die happy. Praise the Lord. But it's always changing. Every day it changes. You see, I mean, man, they said we're this old. Now then they're saying we're this old. And, one time it's this happened, next time it's that happened. I'm going to put my faith in just something that doesn't change. Same every day. Same every day. Same every day. Now, you can put your faith where you want to, but I'm going to put my faith in the Lord. Amen. He said, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. Kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. Everybody say a crown. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. What day is he talking about? He said he's going to give it to me at that day. Amen. There's a time coming when we're going to get a crown, he said. And but we've got to fight the good fight, finish your course, and keep the faith. And then he said that crown will be laid up for us. We mentioned last week in our study that in chapter 4, we find the church in heaven, and it stays there. It's there from here on till chapter 19, when we leave heaven with Jesus and come back to the earth. Amen. And so we're there the rest of this time. These 24 elders are representative of the church and the resurrected saints of God that go up in the rapture. And we're there until that certain time. And so the Bible said then we come back at the end of all this. So what are we doing up there? What are we doing up there during all this time? We're going to talk a lot in the next few weeks about what goes on the earth. There's a lot of stuff happens right here. A lot of stuff. Amen. But the church is not involved in what's going on down here. We're only involved in what's going on up there. Praise the Lord. So let me just mention two things that are going to be going on in heaven during this time. What's going to be happening in heaven when we get there in the rapture? We talked about that last week. And next week we're going to talk a little bit about the timing of the rapture. But how do we got there because the Lord called us out? And we make it. And when we get there, the first thing that's going to occur is, it's called, the Greek word is bema. It is judgment seat. We are introduced to this in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may bring the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So everybody in the church, now let me just say this, put your mind at ease. If you get there, you're saved. This is not the great white throne judgment that takes place at the end of all things. We'll talk about that much later on. There is a judgment at the very end of things. But the judgment seat of Christ is only for the church. And this is a place where you are judged on what you did with your life. You remember in the New Testament, Jesus gave this parable about giving different talents to different servants. And he said to one servant, he gave five, to one he gave two, and to one he gave one. And then he comes back and he asks each one, "What did you do with what I gave you?" And I remind you tonight that you are responsible for the gifts that God gave you. And even though you're saved, when you get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, "What did you do with what you had?" And we're going to give an account for that. That's why I think heaven is going to be very interesting. I think the judgment seat of Christ is going to be very interesting. I think some people that we might think were really great, when God gets through judging them, they're not going to come off so good. And in others that maybe you never heard of, they're going to look real good. Amen. Going to be interesting, isn't it? But it's going to be great just to be saved. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying to you is that we need to do good with what we have. Because we are going to be judged for what we have. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everything about us, our talents, we're going to be judged for what we do with our talents. We're going to be judged what we do with our treasure. We're going to be judged what we do with our time. We're going to be judged by just what we do with what God gave us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's going to be the bema of in heaven. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ and His throne. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you want to look there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul said, "According to the grace of God, which is in me, which is given unto me as a wise builder, master builder, I have laid the foundation, and other buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For no foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Paul said, if you're going to build a church, it's going to be built on Jesus Christ. Now, people have built so-called churches on other things. Some churches are built on personalities. Yes, they are. Some churches are built on certain talents and abilities. Usually when the man dies, the church dies. Amen. But we've got to build on Jesus Christ. Amen. Be very careful what you do for God, that you build it all on Jesus Christ. Brother Neil, when you build a Sunday school, build it on Jesus Christ. Amen. When we build a youth group, let's build it on Jesus Christ. When we build a music ministry, let's build it on Jesus Christ. Whatever we do in this church, let's build it on Jesus Christ. It's got to be about Him. That's all that's going to last. Everything else will crumble. Everything else will fall. But if it's built on Jesus, it'll stand the test of time. Is that not right? Amen. Verse 12, he said, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Now those are different building materials, aren't they? Amen. Some people use something equivalent to gold, some silver, some precious stones. Some build with wood, some build hay, some build stubble. In verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day, that is, the day we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. So what he's saying is that our works are going to be tried. Obviously, if you build something out of gold, fire will not destroy it. It'll purify it, but it won't destroy it. If you build something out of silver, then the silver's still going to be there when the fire passes by. Precious stones will make it through the fire. Will wood make it through the fire? No. Amen. Will hay make it through the fire? No. Is stubble going to make it through the fire? No. Amen. And so what we've got to do is examine. We need to put our priorities in order about what we're doing with our lives. How much of our time do we give to the things of God? Right? How much of our time do we give to Bible study? How much time do we give to prayer? How much time do we give to soul winning? How much time do we give to church and worship? How much of our time do we give to God? That's gold. We're talking about gold. These are things that are golden. Amen? The Word of God's golden. Prayer is golden. Soul winning is golden. Worship is golden. Praise and worship is golden. Amen. And that's important for us today. And those are things that are going to make it in the judgment. That's right. You're not going to lose that time. That's valuable. Amen. Good works, helping other people. Helping other people. Is that right? We still believe in that? Hey, my wife had a flat tire today on the way home. Can you believe that? I had to go all the way up between here somewhere in Canton and Melchiocona or whatever, how you say that? Melchiocano. Yeah, there we go. Slow it down a little bit. El Michoacano, and we pulled in the parking lot and got ready to change the tire, went in. And you know what? There was a fine man in there that said, "Let me help you change that." He didn't help. He did it. I helped him. Yeah, I gave him the jack. He jacked it up. I gave him the wrench. He took it off. I mean, he just went to work. I appreciate that. Amen. I didn't have to go home and change clothes or nothing. He just did it all. I appreciate that. That was so kind of him. That was nice. It's good to do nice things for people still, isn't it? Amen. We still in the business of doing good stuff. Pray it's good. Amen. Bless your neighbor. Do something good for somebody. Amen. That means a lot. In today's world, it means, I think, even more. Even more. So help somebody. Help your neighbor. Be a blessing. Those things are golden. Those things are silver. Those are precious stones. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, "Well, you know, nobody ever comes to see me." Well, let me ask you a question. Do you ever go see anybody? Nobody ever calls me. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you ever call anybody? Boy, it's quiet in here. Huh. Imagine that. Amen. What are you talking about, Brother Grissom? I'm talking about gold, and I'm talking about silver, and I'm talking about precious stones. You know what? If you get all concerned about other people and you're trying to take care of somebody else, you won't worry about getting discouraged yourself. But the more time you spend about yourself, the more discouraged you're going to become. Shake your head like this. That's true, Pastor. That's right. Amen. The more I think about how nobody calls me instead of calling somebody else. Amen. Praise the Lord. I get phone calls, but rarely are they to see how I'm doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what? I'm not worried about that. Praise God. I'm busy. Praise God. People call me up and said, "You're busy? How do you expect me to answer that?" Say, no, I'm just loafing. Go ahead. I don't have nothing to do. Of course I'm busy. But I got time. I'm going to take time. Amen. I want to hear from you. I want to see what I can do. How can I be a blessing? Amen. But of course we're busy, right? Amen. We all busy in the kingdom of God. That's a good thing. So I'm just talking here about our time. How do you spend your time? Amen. And I know this is touchy, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I think God's interested in how we spend our money. Now, let me before you get upset, let me prove my point here. Jesus was at the temple one day. And of all the places that he could have been, do you know where he was standing? Huh? He was standing right by the offering plate. And the Bible said he was watching, and this is a very interesting word, he was watching how people gave, not how much, but how. Amen. He's watching how people gave. Now, that tells me he's probably interested in what I do with my money. Now, I'm going to just tell you up front, amen. I do my best, Brother Neil, to do right with my money. And I support the work of God. I never ask you to give an offering unless I give an offering. Amen. If I don't have any money when you're taking the offering, I'll make sure that I get to my office before I leave and I'll get an offering in there. I've never asked for an offering that I didn't give in that offering. I believe in giving. I believe in it. I do it. So when I talk about giving, I'm not talking about something that I'm the recipient of. I'm talking about something I participate in. Amen. Now, how much? I'm not going to tell you what you've got to do and how much you've got to give. The Bible talks about the tithe is the Lord's. You know, and I certainly want God to get what's His, so that tenth belongs to Him. Anything above that is offering. So that's between you and God what you do with it. And I'm not getting in your finances. Praise the Lord. But I'm just saying that people that support the work of God, that's something you put your money into, that's an eternal investment. Whereas if I go, and there's nothing wrong with buying a new car. I may buy one of these days. Nothing wrong with it. But this is what I know about cars. It's new today, but as soon as I drive it off the parking lot, it's used. And its value does what? Right? Amen. They're necessary. Thank God for vehicles. I really appreciate vehicles. I'm glad I have one. I'm glad my wife has one. And I got a pickup. She's got a car. I'm thankful for that. Don't ever get me wrong. And I don't condemn anybody. I don't ever talk about what people drive. Amen. If you want to drive a Rolls Royce, have at it. If you can afford it. And still fulfill your obligations to the world and the church, that's fine. You go right ahead. Amen. If you want to drive a Volkswagen, that's fine too. It's up to you. Amen. We got folks in church that do drive a Volkswagen. Amen. I don't know if anybody's driving Rolls Royce right now, but that's fine too. What are you saying? I'm just talking about when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, these are things that are going to come up. Is this fair enough? I'm doing this tonight to help us. Just let us know that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, what's going to matter is what I did and what I gave from my life to the Lord, my time, my talents, my treasure. What did I do with it? How did I spend it? And I'll give an account. Now again, he said, if any man's work shall be burned, in other words, if I didn't do anything but be saved, I'm still going to be saved. But I'm not going to get a much reward. Amen. Instead of getting to be, governor over the state of Texas, I may get to be a street sweeper in Canton after First Monday. You know, see what's going on. I'm just making that up, you understand? But it's an example, you see. That's what the Bible says. Jesus, in his parable, he said the one that had been faithful and had multiplied his talents. Amen. Remember what he said? He said, you'll be ruler over 10 cities. You're going to be ruler over 5 cities. See? In other words, you're going to have places of leadership, places of governorship. And when God learns what He can trust you with through life, then when we get there, then we're going to be judged according to that. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. We're all going to be there, and we're all going to be saved. But some are going to get more reward than others. Does that make sense? That's what's going to happen. Amen. And then the second event that's going to take place in heaven before we come back is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Anybody heard of that? Praise the Lord. The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. That's the second thing that's going to be going on in heaven before we come back with Jesus in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's going to be exciting. The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. When we get there, the Bible said that the church is the bride of Christ. Amen. That's going to be an exciting time. That's going to be our union with the Lord for eternity. We're going to get there. We're going to be arrayed, the Bible says, in our righteousness. We're going to bring our rewards with us. Amen. We're going to stand with Him. And we're going to have a marriage supper. That's going to be an exciting time. This is going to last. Now, I like that because I like supper. Amen. That's right. I like supper. And so we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've dropped that out of our vocabulary. It used to be, when I was growing up, you had breakfast, dinner, and supper. And then we changed that to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I still like breakfast, lunch, and supper because it's more biblical. Amen. So we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that's going to last a long time. The Bible said that one gate to the New Jerusalem is going to be made out of one pearl. That's a big pearl. That's a big pearl. And it comes out of a big oyster. Amen. So I got a feeling we're going to have oyster stew. And fried oysters. And about every way you can fix oysters. I don't know what else we're going to have. Amen. But I got a feeling we're going to have that. I hope we're having something else because I'm not much on oysters. Maybe the Lord will change my taste buds by the time I get there. I don't know. Amen. But when we get to heaven, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's going to be a time of rejoicing. Now, of course, the Bible talks about, Jesus did one of His parables, about bringing in guests. So there's going to be guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. But I feel like that the Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. Then I got a feeling that the Old Testament saints are going to be guests. And I also feel like that tribulation saints, people that come out of the great tribulation, 7 years, when horrible things happen on the earth. The Bible talks about some tribulation saints, a great number, that are going to stand there with their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. I feel like they're going to be guests also. Amen. So there are going to be some guests at that marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. But I want to be part of that bride, don't you? Amen. To be part of the bride of Christ. There's not going to be any substitute for that. To be a part of the bride of Christ. And then I quickly want to look at these. We looked at the 24 elders. I want to look quickly at the epizoa. And look in verse number, drop down to verse number 6. And he talks about, at the end of that verse, he talks about there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. I say full of eyes. Verse 7, and the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had the beast had a face as a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the four beasts, each one had six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And so we see these four beings. They are called Zoa, living ones. And we note their character. You see him the first time in Ezekiel chapter 1. You see him again in Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10, he calls them cherubim. Cherubim. They're all through the Bible, all through the Old Testament, New Testament. They had them, symbols of them in the temple. They were on the curtains. They were behind the curtain on the Holy of Holies. There were cherubim on the altar. So these four beings exist, and they are representative. Four is a number of completeness in the Bible. Now there's four points of the compass: north, south, east, and west. There's four winds that blow, and there's four seasons. It's a number of completeness in the Scripture. And so this is representative of all life. When we talk about the man, obviously, that talks about humanity, doesn't it? One had the face of a man. One had the face of a calf or an ox. That speaks about domestic life, animals that are domesticated. Talks about the lion. That talks about wildlife. And then it talks about the eagle, which of course talks about all kinds of birds and flying things. And so all of life is represented before the throne. Praise the Lord. Now, what do these beings do? What is their purpose for being there? Well, one reason that they're there is to give glory to God. The Bible says that they constantly are praising, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, we know in Hebrew, when you repeat a number three times, each time it increases in greatness. Like in English, we have the word good, better, and best, right? We have the word sweet, sweeter, and sweetest. You see, we call those diminutives, that they grow. But in Hebrew, they don't have that. So in order to make a word grow, you just use it twice. When you say holy, and then if it's holier, it's holy, holy. And if it's the holiest, it's holy, holy, holy. And so they're saying that the Lord is the holiest. He's the highest. He's the greatest. Amen. That's what they're doing before the throne as they worship Him and as they praise Him. Amen. That's one of the things that they do. That's one of the glories that they give. Amen. Another thing that they do is they carry out the Word of the Lord. They carry out God's directives. We find that the Bible said they're lined up at the throne, right? When you see them, they're on each side of the throne. They're standing on the steps, directed of the Lord. And we see them over and looking real quick. Go to Revelation chapter 7, or chapter 6 rather. They are there at the opening of the seven seals. When the Book of Redemption, we'll talk about next week or so, they break the seals, and each one of those seals brings a judgment, and these cherubim are there. And each one pronounces a woe that is to come. And then again, we find them in chapter 15 when the golden vials or the golden bowls are poured out. And so they direct things for the Lord on the earth, and that's one of their jobs. Another place that we find them that's very significant, and the first time actually we're introduced to them, is in the book of Genesis. Remember when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit that was forbidden, and God drove them out of the garden. What did He do? The Bible said He put some cherubim to protect the garden of the tree of life so that man couldn't partake of that tree. Now, why did He do that? Because God knew that this body, subject to sin, would decay. I'd hate to live in a 1,000-year-old body, wouldn't you? 60 years is wearing out pretty quick. I can't imagine living in this thing for 1,000 years. Can you? If you're wore out now, how much you think you'd be in 1,000 years? Or 2,000 years? Or 10,000 years? Subject to sin, talking about. So this body is in a series of decay. It's constantly, anybody, your body getting better and better as you get older? I mean, you just jump up every morning and say, "Man, I feel better today. I'm 70 years old. I feel so much better today than I did when I was 15. No, I don't think so. Number one, you don't spring up. You wake up and you kind of shake, check things out. Now that works. That works. Amen. And then you slowly get up. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's this body. But you see, God in His mercy, God in His mercy, put angels at that tree so that man would not partake of the tree of life. Because had he would have tasted eternity. And he would have been excluded from God's plan. God's plan was to redeem man, and that's Jesus Christ. By His blood, we can be redeemed, and we are. Now, the tree of life will be in the New Jerusalem. And when we get there, the Bible said there's a river of life. And beside the river of life, there's the tree of life. And we'll get to eat the tree of life. But it's going to be in a different body, in a glorified body. Right? We talked last week about the rapture. Either people that die in Christ are going to be resurrected in a new body. If we are alive and remain, we're going to be changed. And that is, our body is going to cast off mortality and put on immortality, and cast off corruption and put on incorruption. And so that's all apart. But we're going to see that tree of life again. But God put the cherubim there to protect us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any good? Let me wrap this up. I'm closing with this one more statement. I love this. It said, and round about the thrones were 24 elders sat upon seats. I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. That is, they were righteous. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Remember those Stephanos? Those crowns that they gained through struggle. This is a crown of victory. It said, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps. That's not the verse I wanted. Let me drop on down a little bit further. Amen. Verse number 10. And the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. What are you going to do with that crown you win? The Bible says when you see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we're going to take that crown and we're going to throw it at His feet. And then we're going to bow down. We're going to worship Him that sits on the throne. And listen to this song. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So when we get to heaven and we see Him on the throne, praise God, we're going to bow before His throne. And we're going to worship Him. And we're going to praise Him. And we're going to sing a song. Praise God. We're going to sing a song. Amen. Let me see if we can sing that tonight. I'm going to try. See if I'm getting the right key. If not, I fall in the crack. All right? But you'll help me out. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Oh, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, hast created, Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Sing it with me again. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. O Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou created, all things hast created. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. O thou art worthy, O Lord. One more time, sing it with me. O thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and power, glory and power and hallelujah. For thou hast created all things, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for thou art worthy, O Lord. Yes, thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen. Let's stand together and let's give him praise, shall we?